Happy Saturday evening, everybody. This is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car, driving in not really treacherous conditions, but not ideal conditions either. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast following Purdue's 70-55 win over arch-rival Indiana. And it is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Employees Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So yeah, just as I said before, 70-55, Purdue over Indiana. Sort of in a lot of ways, maybe a modern day Purdue-Indiana game, but sort of an old-time sort of Purdue-Indiana game, I guess you can say. A hell of a lot of people braved really, really awful weather to get here. The place was obviously packed. I don't think anybody ever doubted that it would be packed because Purdue fans find a way to get to these things no matter what's going on outside, and the weather was pretty atrocious. And just an indication of how important this game is, not only to Purdue, but to both sides of the rivalry, really. I'd imagine there are probably some folks who made efforts to get to this one after it was evident how dicey the weather was, that maybe had this been Ohio State or Minnesota or Rutgers, especially Rutgers, or certainly anybody in the non-conference season, they probably would have turned around and gone home or not left the house in the first place. But this place was packed. Mac Arena was packed. Mac Arena was loud. It was a significant advantage for Purdue, as it always is when it's that way. And it was very much reflective of the importance of this rivalry to the Purdue end of this rivalry, but certainly that's not to say it's not important to the Indiana end of the rivalry. When I say this was sort of maybe a little bit of an old school sort of Purdue-Indiana game, I'm not really sure what I'm saying there, but it made sense when I thought about it before, because Purdue really largely, you know, won this game with defense. I don't want to give necessarily Nojel Eastern the entirety of the credit for shutting out Romeo Langford, but probably 90%+ of that credit belongs to Nojel Eastern. Purdue played a great game defensively as a team. Their help defense, their cohesiveness, all of that stuff was really, really good. And that's the continuation of a trend lately where Purdue just seems like it's playing much more connected, on the same page far more than it was earlier in this season. And that was certainly the case tonight. Purdue played a very good team game defensively, but this was when Romeo Langford was on the floor, and he wasn't very much in the first half because of early foul trouble, and that contributed to his struggles too, it should be noted. This was Nojel Eastern versus Romeo Langford, and Nojel Eastern won it in a landslide, or a snowslide, as I guess we can say today, an avalanche. This was a game that leaves you thinking that you have to look at Nojel Eastern right now as a prime player more than a third of the way through the Big Ten season for Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. It's sort of been a yearly tradition at Purdue the last few years for Purdue to have somebody either winning that or coming close to winning that every year. In some cases, those were the same thing. One year, a Purdue player won it, and another Purdue player was second. But you have to look at Nojel Eastern here as a guy who is going to be a significant factor in that race. I don't know who else really would be the guy there. I know Ethan Happ is certainly going to be in that conversation for sure. But what Nojel Eastern did against or to Romeo Langford tonight, and this is an NBA lottery pick. This is one of college basketball's foremost talents, one of its, although he's young, one of its probably brightest stars and biggest names. And Nojel Eastern shut him down. He finished with 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting. Just a great defensive game by Nojel Eastern as part of a great game for Nojel Eastern overall. Nojel Eastern is not known as a scorer. We all know this. He doesn't often look to do it, except for when opportunities present themselves. And opportunities presented themselves in the first half, and late toward the first half especially, and late in the first half, I should say. And he scored 10 points, I think, in the final 12 minutes of the first half. Those 10 points were a significant part of basically the run that, no pun intended, snowed Indiana over or under. Snowed Indiana under, thank you. Purdue started the run there late in the first half, carried it over into the second half when they started finally making threes, and that was it. And this wasn't Nogel Eastern finishing with 10 points here and there, or a point here, a point there, and padding the point total when, you know, the game was pretty much decided. This was Nogel Eastern scoring all of his points when the game was decided. So that obviously speaks to his impact on this game as well, in an area where he's typically not a guy who changes games. I mean, from a scoring perspective. Oh, and Purdue's point guard got 10 rebounds. That's a nice luxury to have, too. So a great game for Nogel Eastern, obviously. A great game for Carson Edwards as well. You know, he's only 6 of 18 from the floor. Not what he wants, for sure. But he gets his 20 points, and he gets 7 assists against 2 turnovers, which is coming off a 6 assist to 1 turnover game against Rutgers. This is a player who is one of college basketball's great scorers, but he is making plays to affect games and win games for Purdue that transcend scoring, and I think that is a reflection of a guy who's not just a great scorer, but playing like a great player, a complete player, and a winner. And, you know, he generated some turnovers that mattered for Purdue. Obviously, the assists were a big deal. When he's aggressive off the dribble, Purdue is way better. This Purdue team is way better because it's more balanced than it is when it just is just shooting threes, which it was earlier in the season. But also, Carson Edwards generally as a playmaker is way better when he's playing like that too, because his assists come off him looking to score. When he's aggressive off the dribble, good things happen not only for him, but for other players. And you're seeing that more than ever. I said a couple of times prior to the season, when trying to articulate what Carson Edwards' role was going to be this year, a big part of that I thought was making people around him better. You know, he doesn't have the most talented and certainly not the most experienced supporting cast this year, but when you have a great player, the general expectation, be it fair or not, is that that great player will make the parts around him into something more than they would be otherwise. And I think what you've seen the last couple of games, starting with the overtime at Wisconsin, has been just that. I think he is comfortable in whatever this role is, however he would term this role, however he views this role. He is looks like he's part of a team much more so than maybe he did at the very start of the season. He just doesn't look like a player who's trying to do everything himself. He has at times this season, maybe not consistently, but that would be an easy trap for a player in his situation to fall into, and right now he looks like the opposite of that. He looks like a guy who, to steal a bad cliche, is letting things come to him, who has his head on a swivel, so to speak, for opportunities, not just for himself, but for other people, and he is a big part of the reason why Purdue is trending upwards the way it is. You know, another big part of the reason Purdue is trending upward the way it is Travion Williams, obviously. We've talked about him after every one of the last couple games. He's transformed Purdue. Really at both ends of the floor, specifically on defense, on the defensive glass, but also offensively, he's become such a big piece for them. He got in early foul trouble, didn't have an opportunity to really affect the game very much early on, had some defensive matchup situations that were less than ideal against Juwan Morgan, but when it came time, really, for Purdue to get some big buckets that would make sure that Indiana didn't have a chance to be in a position to steal this one at the end when it was down big in the second half. Purdue ran through Travion Williams. First one, he gets fouled, makes 2 free throws. Second one, he scores on Deron Davis, I believe. And then the next time down, he posts up and hits Grady Eifert for a... it would have been an end one, and he made the free throw, but it was just a bucket. So that was 3 straight possessions. He was Purdue's closer, basically, getting them important offense when they needed to put the game away. And, you know, we always talk about, like, closing out wins as it relates to, like, point guards and guards and decision makers. But the role of closer can be played by anybody. And in that situation, Travion Williams was the guy Purdue went to. And Travion Williams was essentially the guy that closed out this game for Purdue. When he wasn't able to be productive because of the foul trouble, because of whatever else, Matt Harms played really, really well. And whatever it is about coming off the bench, whatever that brings out of him, it works. And that was, as far as coaching decisions go this year, moving Matt Harms out of the starting position to the bench simply to bring something out of him I think that is a move that has really, really paid dividends, because Matt Harms is playing really, really well in this role that he's been put in. He was really, really big tonight, and Purdue needed him to be because of Travion Williams foul trouble. You know, he's been a real weapon all year long, slipping ball screens for dunks and high percentage shots, and that was certainly the case tonight. He had a bunch of dunks, but also he went right at Juwan Morgan in the post early on in the first half and scored on him. And really was a big part of Purdue's defensive effort in a multitude of ways. This is a 7'3" guy who moves his feet, who is agile, who runs well. And he finds himself in situations tonight isolated against guards. He got the better of that more often than not tonight. And just having that luxury of a guy who can move like that just really, really is something that not many teams have, and really can kind of set Purdue apart a little bit. But also the shot-blocking presence to where, you know, when Romeo Langford finally got the baseline against Nojel Easter, Matt Harms was there to pin the ball against the backboard. I mean, just a really, really active, really, really versatile defensive player that is a big part of what Purdue's doing defensively right now. This is the best defense Purdue has played all season long, and this is a team that needs defense to win the rest of the way. And Purdue's got a chance here to do something this season, because when you look at the schedule as it's laid out now, Purdue's 5-2 in the Big Ten here through seven games. You've already gone to Michigan. You've already gone to Michigan State. You've already gone to Wisconsin. When you look at things moving ahead, Ohio State doesn't look as formidable as it did. Indiana, certainly before tonight, didn't look as formidable as it had. You look at some other teams, Minnesota maybe being one, Nebraska being another. Those games don't look as formidable as they did before. You have a favorable split the rest of the way because a lot of your hardest road trips are behind you. And you won at Wisconsin. You obviously don't have to worry about going to Michigan or Michigan State anymore. And you know, the way Purdue's playing, if they continue to trend upward the way they have been, you know, this might not just be about making the NCAA tournament. This is a team that, you never know, might be able to get into that Big Ten championship hunt when all is said and done, have a chance at the end at least. That might be a little premature here to say at this point, but the fact Michigan lost today to Wisconsin at least gives everybody else a little bit of glimmer of hope too, that you know, they can factor into a Big Ten race when maybe it might not have looked early on that they could. Obviously, the Michigan State game coming up in Mackey Arena is going to be a big one for Purdue. The way they're playing right now, I certainly wouldn't write them off in that game. But time will tell. Purdue is playing very well right now, continuing to improve, and that's what the hope has always been, that experience and experience playing together, all of this stuff, the potential benefits of playing a very difficult schedule early on, that those things would all kind of converge and lead Purdue to play its best basketball of the season, you know, when it matters more. And that's the Big Ten season. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And, you know, Purdue has a lot to look forward to here the rest of the season. So with all that being said, that's what I got. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game edition following Purdue's 70-55 win over Indiana, and it's been brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Employees Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again this week from Ohio State if the weather allows me to get there. Have a good night, everybody.